This again, the co-author is Dr. Stephen Moss, and I have one more co-author, Dr. James Shanko Kadalankal. He's located at Oregon State University. So, as an introduction, I would like to talk a little bit about the project I'm working on for the past 5 years. This is called Texas Alliance for Water Conservation Demonstration Project. We have 30 farmers' fields in two counties. This is very close to Lubbock, and we have 19 participating producers. And the project started in 2005, and it will finish in 2012. So the objective of the study was to investigate the energy balance of irrigated and dryland cotton in the Texas High Plains, and to investigate the relationship between the evapotranspiration calculated using Penman-Monteith method and the actual measurements of evapotranspiration made in the field using eddy covariance method. So this is the two study sites. One is a dryland field, one is an irrigator, both are cotton. Irrigated field, it is subsurface drip irrigator, and this is the locations of these fields. It's in the Texas Panhandle area, and both fields are approximately 50 acres in size. So I made a bunch of measurements in the field. I measured all the components of energy balance, net radiation using a Kippenson analyte net radiometer. I had a Lycor 7500 open path irga that was measuring the water vapor concentration. Then the wind speed and direction, it was measured using a CSAT 3D sonic anemometer. So these two instruments here, this make up the open path eddy covariance system. And then I had the soil heat flux measuring system and a Vaisala HMB50 temperature and relative humidity probe to measure the air temperature and relative humidity. So my instruments were, I attached to a mobile trailer, so it was easy for me to transfer it from one field to another. So this is in one of the cotton field. And using my, eddy covariance method, I was able to get the latent heat flux and sensible heat flux measurements. Then I had soil heat flux and net radiation measurements. So these are the four components of energy balance. So the eddy covariance data I collected was 20 hertz data. So then you had to take this data and apply a bunch of corrections to this data. And so the corrections I did include coordinate rotation. This was suggested by Kaimal and Finnegan. And then I did a de-spiking analysis and a de-trending analysis. And they all the non-plausible valleys were also removed. So I'm not mentioning the density correction because it was done for the carbon dioxide. So I did all these corrections using programs that I wrote in MATLAB. And this program was giving me the corrected 30-minute average values of all the fluxes. So my colleague in Oregon State, he did a flux footprint analysis. He used a two-dimensional Lagrangian random walk model suggested by Balducci, and this is a reference for that that analysis you can find here. And the results from this footprint analysis is in the form of contour plots of the flux footprint probability density functions. I'll show these results later. I also estimated ground cover or fractional vegetation cover using remote sensing data. I used the Landsat 5 and Landsat 7 imageries. And I used a method that we developed. And this is based on the perpendicular vegetation index, and this is a reference for that method. You can find a lot of details in this paper. So this is a form of Penman-Monteith ET I used in my studies. This is latent heat flux. And then we have net radiation, soil heat flux, vapor pressure, aerodynamic resistance, and surface resistance. Again, I didn't have, my objective was to find out the value of surface resistance. So I rearranged this equation, then I got, I calculated it for surface resistance. And in these calculations, I used only those days when the soil surface was very dry. So I did this to minimize the soil evaporation component of ET. So here are some of my results. And this diagram shows the flex footprint analysis. And this is my trailer with all the instruments, and this is the, you know, the edge of the field. And you can see here I used data, means I did this analysis only for, you know, this 110 to 270 degree directions, because my instruments were, you know, facing south, so I could use wind directions only in that, that 120 to 270 degree gave me enough fetch. So, and these are the contour plots, and this analysis was interesting. It showed that 80% of the flux, it was coming from within 20 meter from the instruments. So this graph here, it shows the energy balance in the irrigator cotton field. This is net radiation plotted versus the sum of latent sensible and soil heat fluxes. And here we got slope 0.78. This is very similar to, you know, what other scientists are also reporting for agricultural fields and several other fields. And this is the energy balance for the dryland cotton field. Here we got a slope of 0.87. This graph here, it shows the ground cover estimator for the irrigator and dryland fields from Landsat. So these circles and these rectangles, these are, you know, the Landsat observations. So I got, for these points, I had the ground cover estimator using Landsat. So in between, when I didn't have measurements, I did a linear interpolation, and I had frequent measurements of means frequent observations of Landsat to do this. And this, again, this is the top line graph is for the irrigator field, and the bottom one is for the dryland field. As you would expect, the irrigator has much more ground cover than the dryland field. And for the dryland field, you know, for most of the growing season, the ground cover, it didn't change much. It was approximately 35%. But for the irrigator field, it actually went up to 80% ground cover. Here I plotted measured evapotranspiration using my eddy covariance method versus Penman-Montheith equation. And this here, it's a ground cover curve for the irrigated field. So these blue dots shows, you know, the days I had the measurements. And this line here, this actually when the farmer stopped irrigating the field. He stopped irrigating the field like in early September. So in this graph, you know, I'm showing the data for all these days. So the best agreement I got between measured ET and the Penman, you know, using that Penman-Montheith equation was when I used a surface resonance of 90. So this data is for these 4 days here. So the farmer stopped irrigating, and then I had to use a surface resonance of 110 seconds per meter to get a good agreement between the Penman-Montheith calculator ET and my measured ET. This here, this is for 4 days here. This is in late September and early October, and then, you know, the canopy was drying, and I had to use a surface resistance of 275 seconds per meter. This data is for the dryland field. Again, this is the ground cover curve, and you can see the points when I had, you know, means I had good data. Again, this is my measured evapotranspiration plotted versus the Penman-Montheith ET. So here I used a surface resistance of 300. It gave me a good agreement, except 3 days in early September here, the soil was very dry, so the 300 didn't work, so I had to use a surface resistance of 600. So the conclusions of this study are remote sensing is very effective in obtaining ground cover information in the field scale, and this is this is also matching really good with the field observations of ground cover. And this is also compatible with field measurements of energy balance using eddy covariance method. And the estimates of surface resistance determined using this method, it is consistent with is what we are observing in the field, like differences in the ground cover or with the irrigation. And these estimates of surface distance could be useful for estimating crop water use on the field scale. Again, I would like to acknowledge Texas Alliance for Water Conservation for funding the study and all the participating, you know, farmers and all the researchers. Thank you so much.
We have time for questions for
Lucia? Yes.
Just want to make the comment, your surface resistance values were very similar to the ones that I've calculated.
Okay.
Where it was irrigated, they're about 100, and as the soil dried out, they tend to go up into the 500 or 600 seconds per meter range. The other question was, you showed the energy balance closure.
Yes.
For dryland cotton, it looked like had two distinct trends, one
above,
one below.
Yes, that is because in the dryland field, I could clearly see a diurnal variation when I had my DQ variance measurements. So I could see like a clearly diurnal variations during the, you know, early morning hours. You know, it was deep. I mean, when I plot the energy, but if I take the net radiation, if I plot it versus the, you know, LE and H, and so I can clearly see, you know, for individual days, you know, there is actually a diurnal variation. So that's why, so if I plot that, if I plot afternoon hours only, then again I will get a slope of 0.9 or something. Morning hours, I'll get a slope 0.87, 88, something similar to that. So I just combined both, so it was giving me a slope of 0.87. Is that?
Well, just wondering what was causing that.
Yeah, there is a bit scattered, and this, I, my conclusion is that, you know, when the net radiation is heating the surface, the soil is, you know, heating up, there's less canopy, and the sensible heat flux and all is more during the afternoon hours than in the morning hours. So, so if there is a diurnal variation, and that corresponds to net radiation also.
Okay. Where did you locate the net radiation? You feel now, you show the picture where you had the aquarium systems in that trailer.
Yeah, the net radiometer, it was inside.
Okay.
So, yeah, I didn't have the one.
Kind of where the main part of your footprint was?
Yeah, it was, I mean, maybe 10 to 15 meters into that field.
Okay.
But all the other instruments were in there. But this net radiometer also, it was hooked to the, you know, data logger in the trailer. I used a longer wire.
Yeah. And you saw deflux plates?
Yes, that was also inside, yeah.
Okay.
But the data logger, everything is in the trailer. Solar panels.
Additional questions?
I was just wondering if the measurements were daily, hourly, 30 minutes? So
30 minutes. Yes,
Did you use the constant resistance?
Yes, I did.
I know at least with the FEO, or maybe not FEO, but ASCE, I know they even divided into daily and nightly resistances. Would you ever consider doing that?
Because my eddy equivariance data, actually I used only daytime values. Because at night, the energy balance closure was not really, you know, good. So I just used the daytime values. So the Penman Mountain PET also I calculated only during the daytime. I didn't calculate for the nighttime because my measure again was not very confident about because of the lack of energy balance closure at night. But if I plot, if I look at the daily energy balance closure, I had a good closure with it. But only nighttime? No. So I did only daytime.